Hi there and good day. We welcome you to North Bay's Heritage Diary. Listen up. We shall weave for you tales of days and times gone by, which can inform today and show the way to tomorrow. This Municipal Heritage Committee podcast looks at our town, our people, and our stories. Now this time we open the diary of our shared past and take a look at railroad history. The MHC has long recognized our railroad history with glass plaques for the Onar Building, CPR and CNR stations, heritage site plaques, CPR yards, and the waterfront. So today we're going to talk railroads with Peter Chandler, who isn't a railroader. You've got a lifelong love of railroads.
I grew up down in the East End, Regina Laurier Avenue area, and of course, going out to what we now call the Laurier Woods, we used to call it First and Second Meadow, but that was our playground, and the trains, of course, going north on the O&R were always of interest.
Okay, that's the far end of the city. Wasn't developed. Why did they call it the Meadow?
There was, where Franklin Street is now, going out past Stradwick's, and that down in there was, that was Croghan's Farm.
Okay.
And out across the end of Laurier Avenue, there was meadows there, and there was old farm fences that we used to find and resurrect and play army, and it was our playground, and of course, it was always the advent of the train going up down the tracks.
And at that time, they'd have been steam, right?
Well, there was steam, yeah. They used to double head coming out of the O&R going north because of the hill at Trout Lake.
Okay.
And they would cut off one steam locomotive and run it back down to the O&R. So it was quite a thing to stand up on the rock cut at the end of Laurier Avenue and watch the steam engines going out.
I suppose at that time you wanted to be an engineer or something, did you?
I think a lot of fellows around the neighborhood kind of that, you know, alluded to that. It was, you know, it was an interesting thing, and you see these beasts pounding up the rails and stuff, and then of course as you get older you venture into other things, but a lot of the neighbors were railroaders up there. They lived up in that area because they were close to the railroads for going to work. Nobody drove hardly in the winter time. Cars got put in the garage and in the fall and stayed there, and you know, the fellows all walked to work.
What time period are we talking now?
Late 40s, early 50s.
Okay. Not that long ago when you come down to, is it?
No, time flies when you're having fun.
Okay, what did you go into? What was your learning?
I went into the civil engineering field. I wasn't an engineer. I started out as a draftsman with the Department of Highways after high school, and then I worked for a couple of consulting engineering firms, and then came to the city for the last 22 years that I worked.
But you always kept your love of railroads, right?
I've had model trains since I was 15, 16 years old. So,
okay, that can be a demanding hobby, can't it?
It's a hobby that you have to be able to say, okay, this is where I want to go with it. But we generally don't start out that way. You're collecting, and the next thing you know, you've got this pile of stuff, and then you go, oh, I really shouldn't have bought all of that. I didn't really want it, but it gets interesting, you know.
There's a huge display at Pinewood.
I did the track plan for that in 74.
Did you?
Yeah, and with John Kennedy, the railway club at that time, the Model Railway Club at that time, we were approached by John Kennedy, and it's been, well, it'll be 44 years next June that it's been in operation down there.
And without an interruption, it's just been there, mm-hmm. right, as mm-hmm. a major
display. We maintain it. There's two groups out of the Model Railway Club here that go down. Some of us go down on Monday nights, and there's another group out of the club go down on Friday nights, and we do track cleaning and maintenance and stuff to keep it going.
Just like a big railroad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what about your own collection? You mentioned you're into collecting mm-hmm. yourself. Have you got a display something like that in your basement?
Mine's much smaller, but I do have. I have a 15 by 16 foot room. That's been sort of the outlook on when we go looking for a new house, there has to be a train room for
Now, do you, you're wearing a Canadian Pacific hat. Have you specialized with CP rolling stock?
Or? Yeah, basically CP and CP-related railroads, as they do own what was the TH&B, or the Toronto, Hamilton, Buffalo, and the Soo Line in the States. So I do collect some of that as well as the CPR one. And I have a few CNR and a few ONR ones just because of growing up in North Bay and having been exposed to those railways, you know, when I was younger.
When we talked about when you were younger, you talked about some sort of a tower at the far end of the city.
There was where the ONR and the CNR tracks cross down in the east end of the city. If you go in off John Street where the CNR railway was torn out and go down in that way, where they crossed, there was a tower, an interlock tower, because in the early days, before they had computerized systems and whatnot for the signals, they had long rods that ran out along the side of the railway tracks to operate the semaphores, or the big arms that would swing up and down to give the trains the signals that they were for to go or stop or whatever. And it was manned by someone who would sit up there, and they would have all the train schedules and everything coming through on a telegraph key to them. And they would, there was large levers there that they would pull, and these levers would flip through bell cranks and stuff to pull these rods and that to make the arms move on the signals and whatnot. So there was always somebody there. And the one fellow that always stuck out in our mind down there was a fellow by the name of Mr. Moon, who lived on Metcalf Street off Laurier Avenue. So he wasn't too far from work, but he would always have cookies, and if you went by, we'd go up in the tower and sit and watch the trains with him, and he'd always have cookies for us when we were kids. Always tell us, you know, you shouldn't be on the tracks, but oh, you know, come and have some cookie.
So that was a double-barreled attraction.
It was, yeah.
Since we're talking towers, what do you remember about the Gulf Street crossing? You remember anything about that as a kid?
Yeah, long waits going to the beach.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it was, you know, you could be lined up waiting to Fisher Street. Now, we were always told that the railways were told that they weren't supposed to block the crossing for, you know, more than a few minutes sort of thing. But like everything else, you know, you push the limit when you're working and trying to get things done. And you had both the ONR and the CPR had, you know, tracks across there, because the ONR tracks at one time went right down to where the CPR station was.
Okay.
And there was an interchange. That was where they interchanged, you know, freight cars coming from the CPR to the ONR and vice versa. So,
well, the main delay would be because they were trying to put...
They were switching and making up trains and breaking out other cars and stuff
like that. Yeah. Because there was a big tower there.
There was a tower there. The Gateman's Tower was there. It was on right at the CPR tracks, but he did control the wigwags at that time that were on the ONRs as well. So
it was sort of, was it, no, memory serves me right, there was a set of tracks on the Oak Street side, and then there was a gap, and this thing, tower was in the middle?
It was in between, but closer to the CPR's line.
And which was the CPR line?
It was the one closer to the lake.
Closer to the lake. Okay. I know, that's because we lived in Ferris, and going back and forth, because it used to be, it seemed, that it was always in our we call a rush hour or whatever.
Yeah.
Noon hour, supper time, that sort of thing.
Or if you had an appointment, you were guaranteed you were going to be late.
Absolutely. How did you feel when they eventually got rid of that? Any nostalgia for it?
I wasn't here in town from 65 till 73. I was in Southern Ontario working.
Okay.
And I came back and the overpass was already in place, because it took place, I think, 67
mid-60s,
or something, somewhere around 67, 68, something like that.
Yeah.
It was something that we always kind of looked forward to, was going down and, you know, they had the trees all along Memorial Park down there with the plaques on them and stuff, you know, and it was something that you lost. It was, you know, it was familiarity that was gone.
Yeah. There's been books. We've got Steam into Wilderness, Albert Tucker. Bob Surtees had a book mm-hmm. on the O&R history. The histories that I can think of about railroading here were about the O&R, although some of the other history books tell a railroad story too. But so the O&R is our railroad in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It you know, because of their head office being here and, you know, their main repair shops and everything else. And it was the origin for the push north to open the northern part of the province here,
right.
You know, the northeastern part of the province. So, you know, the O&R became a very important piece of industry here in North Bay. It contributed immensely to the development here.
And it still is.
Yeah.
Still is in a different way. When you were young, did you listen to stories from old railroaders? Was that part of your interest?
Yeah, I was fortunate in that both my grandparents, my grandfather on my father's side, he told stories of, you know, working for the railway. They worked for CPR. My grandfather on my mother's side worked for the CPR. And most of the relatives on that side of the family either worked for CPR or the O&R out of North Bay. So there was always lots of railroad stories of things that, you know, that went on. And of course, they always told us, you know, some of the better stories that kids could hear. They didn't tell us a lot of the other ones that were probably not very...
Yeah.
You know.
Do you remember any of them?
Not too many. The only one that I can remember, and this wasn't even family, this was the next door neighbor, Mr. Raycraft. He worked for the O&R, and he took me down to the O&R shops, to the roundhouse, to the old roundhouse. There had been a wreck on the O&R, and they had brought the locomotive, the steam locomotive, into the shops to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
And he took me down to see it. And, you know, he said, this is the sort of thing that can happen, you know, with trains. He said, they are big, they are heavy. And he said, when they have a wreck, they do an awful lot of damage.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. So the O&R had a roundhouse.
Mm-hmm. They had a big roundhouse.
And the CPR had a roundhouse.
CPR had a roundhouse. Now the CNR, they have a yard that's down off the end of Worthington Street, down where the scrap metal people are down in that area.
Okay.
There's a yard down there. Now it was an interchange yard with the O&R. The O&R, before the CNR came to North Bay, the O&R operated out of a building that was on the east end of the existing CPR station. And passenger trains would go out of there. Freights would go out from down where they are now, but the passenger trains would go there. When the CNR came through and built the station at Fraser Street, that's when the O&R switched and went. And I guess it was probably because they were two government railways at the time.
All right,
so,
yeah.
You know, but anyways, they used to go out through, and if you'll hear people talk about the Y, which is down the end of McIntyre and Worthington Street. And that's what it is. It's basically a Y in the tracks. And that's where the passenger trains for the O&R would go out through the Y along the front of where the old stores house and everything else was at the O&R. So.
And the CPR had a huge ice house, did they not?
The CPR had a great big ice house. And they used to... The fellows from up around Nipigon used to come down and cut ice out on the lake out next to Highway 17, just past Stockfish on the north side.
Okay.
They used to come out there, and they'd come down, you know, late January, early February, they'd come down and they'd cut ice there and transport it down and fill the ice house here for the refrigerator cars. And that's what they used the ice for, was to... for the refrigerator. And then once, of course, the railways got into mechanical refrigeration in the cars, then they didn't need the ice anymore, so the ice house got torn down.
We've lost a lot, haven't we?
We have. But in the context of things, I guess, railways are progressive in their nature, so old things get pushed aside, and, mm-hmm. you know, and the new stuff comes along. So,
the whole city. I mean, your CNR tracks are up away from the waterfront, and mm-hmm. the ONR and CPR yeah. tracks are along the waterfront. So yeah. we're sort of bracketed by.
Yeah. What happened was, and you'll read it in some of the books, and if you go down to the La Paz, I don't know whether you know where the old Laporte's nursery was, on, you know, along the side of the La Paz River there, down by Nipissing Junction.
Okay.
There are old piers there for what was the Canadian Northern Railway, which became part of the CNR. But they initially were coming up that way, and they hoped to come across the waterfront. And when they got as far as Judge Avenue, which is the city limits, yeah. the old city limits, okay. CPR said, that's my property. You're not crossing there. So that's when you ended up with Nipissing Junction. And they did the switch. They come through Callander and paralleled the old Highway 11, which is Pinewood Park Drive.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they swung out and went out so that they came to the alignment that brings them through this part, of like the middle part of the old city sort of thing. So there was, that's kind of the thing. But you can see the old abutments there for the railway bridge, they're still there on the side of the La Paz River, if you look.
Yeah, the Heritage Committee was asked to examine Nipissing Junction, and we went, and I remember seeing those mm-hmm. and hearing the story about that. That's a few years ago now, but it was a fascinating story, because you're right, they're still there, just
yep. Yep.
in the middle of nowhere, almost.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of writing anything? I mean,
I guess maybe I should have written stuff down as, you know, as it's come to mind sort of thing. I've seen some of Jeff Fournier's pictures online in the last little while, and, you know, I the memories come back, you
yeah.
know, about
yeah.
things that, and you know, I guess, you know, you go along with the flow of what's going in the city and stuff, and you don't think too much of it, and then all of a sudden this flashback comes to you, and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that.
What about the waterfront? What do you think about the waterfront today as opposed to when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, we used to go with my father down to the government dock fishing.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you didn't walk away up to Lakeview Builders and come across. You sneaked through across the CPR yards, the west yard, and down to the tracks. And, you know, you were warned that south of the government dock was Hobo's Alley. You didn't go there if you were down by the government dock. The waterfront that's been developed is a great use of land, as far as I'm concerned. It has made a part of the city that was really a collection of junk and stuff that,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it wasn't very nice looking. So you've got a place now that's quite attractive.
Public can use it.
Yeah, and the public can use it. It's cleaned everything up. Down in that area, and I think it's great, you know, to see something done like that.
Do you remember were the stockyards before your time?
Stockyards, both the ONR and the CPR had stockyards.
Oh, really?
The CPRs were down in sort of that area in around where Ron Metals
yeah,
building
okay.
is down
yes,
in there.
Right.
CPR had a stockyard down in there. The ONR stockyard was up off the end of Worthington Street, but going more out towards the CNR tracks. It was a small stockyard in there. And, you know, there again, that was a place where, you know, animals could be taken off the trains, fed, watered, whatever sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It was the means of getting your meat to the big meat processors in southern Ontario and stuff, for if there was cattle coming in that people wanted, you know, that for local farms and stuff, they would bring them into there and then get picked up.
Can you imagine North Bay without railroads?
I don't think North Bay would be here without railroads. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the railroads played such a significant part, you know, for the city here, and we have sort of seen the railways compacting, I guess you might call it, their whole operation. So, you know, well, the likes of the CPR that have leased their line out here to the to a company out of the States to look after for them. We are here because of the railroad. That's, you know, I don't see that we would have been a city of this size at any other time without the railroads.
Anything that you want to talk about that I haven't pushed you into?
Some of the things that came to mind, I was looking at one of the pictures that were on Jeff Farnier's site, and they were talking about some of the railway and stuff. When you look at it, you know, when I was a kid, we had coal-fired furnaces in the house.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
remember those. A morning like this morning that we're sitting here, my dad would have been up at 6 o'clock in the morning stoking up the fire, and we'd all stay in bed until as long as we could so we could stand next to the register in the bathroom while you were getting washed in the morning sort of thing, because it was cool, eh? But, you know, you had Saya Fuels up on Copeland Street where the CNR tracks. You had Gordon and McCluskey Fuels down in where the new Nipissing Parry Sound Health Unit building is, right, down in there. You know, the beer store was at the corner of Fraser and Oak Street. There was that's where the beer store was at the time when I was a kid. I can remember going there with my dad and stuff. There was a company called Regent Fuels was on John Street, right where the CNR tracks. There was a place there. We used to go get polywogs in the spring down there, and they'd come home. You'd come home with the bottle, and there'd be oil in the water, and the polywogs swimming around in it, you know. But, yeah, so it was busy. You know, the railways were busy. They, you know, they had freight sheds and stuff. You know, the CNR had their big freight warehouse up at the end of Sherbrooke Street where it comes up off 2nd Avenue there. There was a big freight shed there, and, you know, so there was lots of things that went on, you know, around here.
A lot of the old railroaders have passed on, right?
Yeah.
Can you toss some names at us? People that you remember?
Bud Thompson worked for the CPR. He was part of the old original Model Railroad Club that was here. Like a lot of the guys in the railway club back in the late 50s and early 60s were full-time railroaders. We had a baggage car down at where, you know, it's just about where the Gulf Street overpass is now, but we had a baggage car with a model railroad in it. And there was Harold Rutherford, you know, that was there. There was all, you know, most of the fellows that belonged to the club at that time were railroaders for, you know, for their livelihoods.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, like railroad memorabilia that came out like years ago. The railways on all their switch stands all had these big lanterns. Initially, they were all coal oil fired. So you had somebody, that's all their job was to maintain these things and keep the you know, the coal oil in them so that they would be working and have the proper, you know, the red lens or the green lens, depending on whether which way the switch was thrown, sort of thing. You know, they eventually switched over, some of them got switched over to electric. But then now they've got just a reflective target on them that the headlight of the locomotive hits, and the, you know, the engineers and firemen can see them. So this stuff is now all out for people that are collectors, and
there's
a lot of that stuff is out and around, and you know, you see it, sometimes you'll see it in a restaurant, it'll maybe have a railway theme, mm-hmm. and they'll mm-hmm. have, you know, the lanterns hung. We all kind of look for them, you know, to see what there is. I have a brass badge that was one of my grandfather's, and it's got TNNO number one trucker on it. Now, he was a freight handler, eh? And that's why they called him a trucker. You know, these are things that if you see them, even the insulators off the telegraph poles. I was in at a summer flea market thing one time down in around Odessa, and fellow said to me, he said, "You interested in that?" And I said, "Well, it is interesting." I said, he said, "You'll never see one of those again." It was a TNNO, like a Temiscamingue Northern Ontario Railway, white insulator with the thing. I said, "Oh," I said, "I've got two of them." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, I got one with the lettering in the top, another one that's around the base." And he said, "Oh," he said, "you wouldn't want to sell them, would you?" And I said, "No." I said, "They'll get passed on to my children."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a final thing, apropos of absolutely nothing. Well, I've heard talk of this for years and years and years. Again, I'm dealing with a Gulf Street area, mm-hmm. Gulf Street crossing area. The O&R Tennis Club was down there, was it not?
It was, yep, in between the CPR and the O&R tracks on the north side of the Chippewa Creek.
Was it visible from the roadway?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all fenced in. It had all the proper, I think it was asphalt that they had in there that, you know, was an asphalt court.
God, I'm just thinking now, and you go down there now, and all it is the creek.
Yeah.
And bush.
Yeah.
And pieces of cement lying around and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. The other thing that might be of some interest, if somebody was to really look hard at one of the city maps, the O&R originally went out towards Trout Lake and then swung back in around where Giroux Street is. Swung back in and came across, the right-of-way came across the face of the escarpment and headed north up through where the university and college grounds are up there. And that was the original layout that they were going to go. That was how they were going to go, and then they changed it and went. They kept going east to Feronia, but you can actually see in the layout of legal plans, you can see the right-of-way that was...
Really? I heard Bob Wood was on council, I think, when they discovered on Eloy's farm sort of plans for a railroad.
Yeah, yeah, there is. If you looked at the old, when you went up the old Gormanville Road and it made the real sharp corners back up in front of the monastery there, there was a flat area that had been graded out in there. It was already graded out, but the railway would have gone across the face of the escarpment. They would have made the big loop out towards Giroux Street there and Johnson Road area. And
was the route they eventually chose, do you think, in your estimation, the better route, or would the escarpment route have been better?
I think that was the better route to go. The way they went was out through Feronia. I think this would have been another... CNR divide in the city. If you look at the way the city has developed today, you know, with the development on the escarpment to the north of the you know, the old city, you would have had another thing with railway tracks impeding development again.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing that a story that I'll have for you here is when we were younger, in our mid-teens. We were able to go up to the CNR station on Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. It was a mixed freight used to go out on the O&R, and they would let us throw the canoe up in the vestibule in the back of the passenger car that was hung on, and they'd stop at Mulock and let us off to go fishing.
Really?
Yep. That was how easy going railroads were in those days.
Different time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yep.
Boy.
Yep.
Peter, thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. It's
stories.
Been a pleasure.
Good. We've been talking with Peter Chandler about railroads as part of the MHC series, Our Diary. And thank you for spending some time with us and listening to the stories. These productions are put together by the North Bay Municipal Heritage Committee, not only to retell old tales, but hopefully to kindle interest in area history. Local lore is important to any community, and we shouldn't let it go unremarked and unremembered. Views expressed in this podcast, not necessarily those of the Corporation of the City of North Bay or its employees. Join us next time when we flip another page of the diary of our shared past. You can reach us at peter.carello@cityofnorthbay.ca. Pete Hanley speaking.